Welcome back to Counseling Tips for Pastors and Ministry Leaders. And today, my friend, we are going to dive inside our own minds and talk about some action steps that you can take as a man, as a woman, as a pastor, as a parent, whoever you are, whatever relationship you might be struggling in or work situation might be difficult for you, ministry context, wherever this is helpful, we're going to talk about 5 action steps you can take to stop the negative thinking, the unhelpful thought patterns, the grumbling, even if it's only inside your own head, the overthinking. 5 action steps you can take to take those thoughts captive and turn them around. Now, we're not going to do a deep dive into all of the scripture and theology around your thought life. There are a ton of wonderful scriptures that you can study and meditate on and pray over. But today I want to share a counselor's perspective on action steps that you can take to take more control of your thought life. My name is Jessica Hayes, and I am a licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist in South Carolina, and I'm the director at iHope Christian Care and Counseling. And iHope has started this podcast to equip pastors and ministry leaders with counseling-related skills, because we know that that's often not a big focus of seminary or training, and yet it's a huge focus for those of us in ministry. So the counseling-related relationship struggles of ministry, we are here on this podcast to equip you and to encourage you in the hard work that you are doing. And so I'm glad that you're here, and I know you clicked on this episode because you're like every other human in the entire world, and there are moments, or maybe days, or maybe long seasons where your thought life is getting in the way of not only living the way that God calls you to live, because He says a lot about your thought life and the variety of ways it impacts you and it reflects Him, but also because our negative thinking limits what our relationships can look like and what our work and our ministry can look like. So I'm glad that you're here. If you want to learn more about iHope and the counseling services we offer, or make a donation to support this podcast or our ministry as a whole, all of that is over at www.ihopeflorence.com. And we would love for you to check us out and support us if you are in South Carolina. But I'm excited to dive into these 5 tips. Now, the scripture that I often turn to first, if I'm, as a counselor, sitting down with someone wrestling with this negative thinking, this grumbling, kind of always assuming the worst, can't fall asleep at night because you're always thinking about things, I will often turn early in that process to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which tells us what to think about. Think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely. And that will come into play toward the end of the action steps that we will talk about. But let's all have that in the back of our minds. We know that God does not want us to dwell on the negative. He does not want us to focus on things that are, definitely to focus on things that are untrue, but He doesn't want us to focus on things that distract us from the goodness, the blessings, the areas of thanksgiving that we have in our life. So the first place to start, if you notice, oh, I am struggling with some negative thinking. Maybe you're starting to see an impact on your own mental health or your relationships or the ministry work that you're doing. But once you start to notice, my thoughts maybe are not leading me in the best direction here, the very first action step we can take is to recognize and label what is that negative, unhelpful thought. And sometimes it is a specific thought Like just as an example, you know, you're a pastor, you're a ministry leader, you have spiritual conversations all the time, you share the gospel, and someone does not decide that they want to follow Jesus. You've probably had that experience. I think every Christian has. And sometimes we walk away with this negative thought like, I failed. I didn't do enough. I should have blah, 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 blah. But it might be a specific negative thought like that. Or it might be labeling an unhelpful and negative pattern of thinking. Maybe there's someone in your church that you smile and you try for the unity and the peace, and yet all of your thoughts are just really negative toward that person. You don't trust them. You don't like them. It's hard to spend time with them. But starting with recognizing and labeling, if you can, a very specific thought or a specific pattern of thinking, you're never going to change it if you cannot even understand what it is. And once you've labeled it, now you can move into that second action step. And I will pause right here. I know I already said I'm not diving into a ton of scripture about this. That's a different conversation for a different day. But I also want to note, I'm not going to specifically talk about praying over this or inviting the Holy Spirit into it, because I hope that that is assumed. When you notice you're struggling with negativity, overthinking, grumbling, pray about it. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Ask for the Lord to be changing your thoughts, changing your heart. I'm just going to assume that you're already doing that part of it. But now, from a more counseling perspective, you've labeled that thought, recognized it, and labeled it. Now you can refute that thought. You need to question it. You need to challenge it. It is so easy to hear a negative thought in our head and just kind of assume it's true. It might fit with all the things going on around you. It might match what everybody around you is saying. It might really line up with your feelings. And yet, it is very unlikely that that negative thought, whether it's grumbling or overthinking or assuming the worst about someone, it's very unlikely that that thought is 100% true 100% of the time, that it is in line with Philippians 4, verse 8, that it is true and noble and pure and lovely and admirable. And so we need to challenge the thought. But here's a key point here. You can't just assume, oh, it's a negative thought, therefore it's 100% wrong. Usually there are elements of truth in it. Maybe you did have that gospel-centered conversation, but you hadn't eaten yet today, and so your brain was a little bit scattered, and maybe your emotions were on edge, and you kind of rushed through it, and now here you are 10 minutes later eating your McDonald's in the car and thinking, oh, shoot, I totally failed at that. It might be true that there are some things you could have done differently. The Lord does not want us to live in a place of condemnation or beating ourselves up about those type of things, but He does want us to learn from our experiences and from His conviction. And so when I say refute the thought, I don't mean toss it out the window. I mean challenge it. Interact with the thought. Try to find out, and maybe getting other opinions, is this really true and accurate? Is it helpful and good? Are there ever situations where this thought maybe is not true? Might there be other explanations for what's going on? What does the Lord want me to learn from this or understand about this? So we recognize it and label it. We refute it. We challenge it. We don't just take it at face value. And then we move into step three, which is replacing the thought. And again, I don't mean like, well, out with that one and in with this new one. We're not going to fake it till we make it. We're not going to just smile our way through. And we're definitely not going to think that if I just follow my heart, everything will be great. But we do need to replace negative, grumbling thinking with things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. That might be a totally different thing to think about, or it might just be reframing the thought that's already in your head that you're struggling with. We actually, in next week's episode, we'll go into a little more detail here on how to replace that thought, but that's the next step. So we've recognized it and labeled it. We've refuted it and challenged it, had a conversation with it. We've replaced it. We've at least identified a replacement thought, an alternative thought that is actually more true, more helpful, more lovely and admirable, more likely to point us toward Christ. Now we have some action steps to remind ourselves of truth. Remind ourselves of, first and foremost, the truth of the gospel. Jesus did not just die to save that person who you had a conversation with and now you feel a little guilty that it didn't go great. He also died to save you from your sins, from your failures, from your mistakes. The gospel is true and it is good and it is lovely and it is excellent and it is always worth thinking about. So remind yourself of truth. And yes, part of that truth might be, gosh, next time I interact with that person, maybe I need to apologize for something. Maybe I should have my snack before the conversation so that I'm at my best. You know, something, it might be a lesson learned from this negative thinking. But don't get stuck in the negativity. Remind yourself of truth from God's word, who he says you are, who he is. Of course, there are an abundance of scripture passages we could focus on here. But I'll close us out with the fifth action step, which is to rehearse. If this is a pattern of negative thinking, maybe there's a lot of times where you find yourself thinking, oh, I really screwed that up. I should have done it differently. I should have. I failed. Or maybe, like I said, maybe it's a lot of negativity about a certain person or situation or relationship. Usually we notice negative thinking because it's happening more than once. And so we recognize it and label it, we refute it, we replace it, we remind ourselves of truth, and then we rehearse, we practice again and again and again. Because the next time you're in a similar situation, that same negative thought is probably going to pop up. And you're not automatically going to think about that new replacement, truth-filled, helpful thought. You have to practice that. You have to notice, ooh, whoops, my mind went in that same negative place. Let's pause. Let's come back. Let's rehearse the truth here. You're going to rehearse, not wait until the hot button moment to deal with it. So like I said, next week we will go into a little more depth on how to replace that thought, because that is often the tricky part. But I wanted to outline these five action steps for you. I hope that they are helpful and that they make sense. And I would encourage you, if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to the show, leave a review, share about it with a friend, and circle back next week for more tips on replacing that negative thinking so that we can more and more and more live fully into Philippians 4:8 and every other scripture that reminds us to focus on the goodness of God and seeking peace and unity. And that's all I have for today. So again, you can get more information at ihopeflorence.com. If you're in South Carolina, we offer counseling services and we accept donations. We are a 501c3 and your donations help us keep client fees low and accessible and affordable for professional Christ-centered care. So all of that is at ihopeflorence.com. This is the Counseling Tips for Pastors and Ministry Leaders podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.